Now, let me add my very warm welcome. Lovely to see you at the meeting, and we do trust that as you've heard the message of God's salvation, and as we consider something further of the details, we do trust that God will speak very personally to you. I want to read with you one verse from the Gospel by John, please, and that is John chapter 10 and verse 9. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I'm sure it will be known by quite a number in our meeting. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord Jesus is speaking in one of his great I am statements. Throughout the Gospel by John, he constantly refers to the statement, I am. There are seven outstanding I am statements. Some of them are repeated. In fact, five of them are repeated. And this particular one is repeated as well. If you look back just a couple of verses, you'll find the Lord Jesus says in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. But here he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want you to observe several very interesting details about this verse. Number one, we are going to look at the centrality of the Savior. He says, I am the door. By me. In other words, he's focusing our attention on his person. He's saying, I want you to understand that there's no other possibility of finding salvation but through me. I alone am the one through whom there can come salvation into your life. Maybe you've been thinking that, well, now you can try an alternative system. Maybe you think by attending meetings like these or attending religious services of another kind or getting involved in good works and the likes that you can find God's salvation. Well, our Lord Jesus says, I want to tell you that you must focus alone on me. I am the way. By me. And salvation is in a person. In an earlier chapter of the Gospel by Luke, than that from which we've read already, there's a man called Simeon, and he took the babe Christ in his arms, and he spoke to God and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And as Simeon held the babe in his arms, he saw God's salvation. Salvation is personified in the person of Christ. There's no other basis for God's salvation. And we might ask the question, why is that so? Well, you'll observe that further down in our chapter, in verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Further down still, in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. And we ask, why is he emphasizing in one of his other I ams, which is repeated, why is he emphasizing that he's the good shepherd? Well, observe the detail of verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And here is the basis upon which we can find God's salvation. The fact that the good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. Time and again in this chapter, we read that I lay down my life. And we've been singing together about the circumstances of Calvary, the cross of Christ. We've been reading together of the time when the Lord Jesus was on that middle cross. And there was one who looked at him. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Now, it didn't look as if the man in the middle cross was going to have a kingdom. If he had looked closely, he would have seen a man with a crown of thorns. He would have seen a back that was lacerated by a whip. He would have seen a face that had its beard plucked from the cheek. He would have seen hands that were nailed to the cross. He would have seen feet that were likewise nailed. And yet he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And we ask the question, why did he know that the Lord Jesus had a kingdom? Well, he looked above that cross, and he saw that what was written there was this, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Did he look like a king? No. Was he a king? For sure. Would he have a kingdom? He would. And said the man, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And our Lord Jesus was nailed to a cross in spite of being the King of the Jews. And in being nailed to that cross, he was giving his life as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd was giving his life for the sheep. And salvation is alone to be found in the person of Christ. We cannot find salvation in any other, nor in any other way, nor in any other keeping, not paying, not praying. Salvation is in our Lord Jesus. And so we begin by understanding the centrality of the Savior. But then secondly, we have the availability of the blessing. He said, I am the door. And that little word, am, is indicative of a present reality. I am the door. And at this moment in time, our Lord Jesus is a potential Savior. But my dear friend, I want to tell you that this might be your very last opportunity. You might never have another opportunity of listening to God's salvation. Maybe this is the very last time when the Savior is going to have outstretched arms and say to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Someone in our meeting is going to be the first to enter eternity. Tell me, what if it were you? And what if it were this evening? There were those who opened their eyes this morning and never anticipated for a moment that they would be in eternity now. What if you don't see midnight? Where would you be in God's eternity? There's only two solemn possibilities. One, you could be in heaven, and that's a tremendous thing. But you could open your eyes in hell, being in torment. You have the opportunity now. Now is God's day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You might never have another opportunity. There might not be another meeting like this in this hall. The Lord Jesus might come and take to be with himself every believer on the earth. And if that's the case, the believers here won't be along anymore to the meeting here to conduct a meeting. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. And the opportunity for your salvation is available now. You can come into blessing. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There was a man in our New Testament, you'll read about him in Luke chapter 12. He was very, very good in his business. It brought forth plentifully. He was a farmer. So much so that he said to himself, what am I going to do? My barns are full, and I've got more wheat and grain, and where will I put it? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And I guess that's the kind of ethos of our socialist society today. Eat, drink, and be merry. Go out and enjoy yourself. Don't think about tomorrow. And God said to him, you're a fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Tell me, what if God said to you, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? What if this is the last few minutes of your life? What if you're never going to see another day? If things are going to be such that you close your eyes in death, where would you be? Would God say, you're a fool? You haven't prepared for God's heaven? You haven't taken the opportunity of experiencing God's salvation? I want to tell you, it's available now. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. But not only the centrality of the Savior and the availability of the blessing, but the uniqueness of the offer. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And as you know, the definite article is quite different from the indefinite article. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. And that definite article occurs in all of the I am statements of the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And our Lord Jesus is uniquely the only Savior. He is the only one who can provide the necessary basis for your eternal salvation. I am the door. But then, fourthly, we have the simplicity of the way. I am the door. None of us misunderstand the significance of the statement. Isn't it lovely how our Bible is so beautifully given to us that a wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein? None of us can misunderstand. I, one letter, am, two letters, the, three letters, door, four letters. I am the door. And we all understand what a door is. A door is a means of communication from one side to another. It's the basis of moving from normally the outside to the inside, or from the inside to the outside. And our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And the simplicity of the way is thus expressed to us in a simple and understandable form. But then observe next the extent of the invitation. And I rather love this. I am the door. By me, if any man, any woman, anyone, if any one enter in. And that's very beautiful. That means the folks where I come from in Scotland, if any of them, the folks in Dunedin this evening, if any one enter in, the gospel is available to all. It's not something that is exclusive to some. but it's inclusive of all. Everyone has the opportunity of entering in, if any man enter in. In other words, it's a what we call a whosoever will gospel. That's why this text above me includes the word whosoever. That's why elsewhere in our New Testament we read, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means it's available for you. It was available for me. And I took the opportunity of including myself in that little phrase, if anyone. It included me. It includes you. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. But not only do we have the extent of the invitation, we have the means of the blessing. If any man enter in. Now the door might be there, and we might be on one side. We can never get to the other side without entering in. And our Lord Jesus is encouraging us to take the positive step from the outside to the inside. And we might ask the question, why is that necessary? Well, I think we've been given to understand the necessity of salvation by the fact that there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is a standard of perfection. I hear some people say, well, now, I think at the end of life, God will take the good points of my life and the bad points, and if the good points outweigh the bad points, then all will be well. My dear friend, that is not the case. And anyway, I rather think in any of our lives, the bad points are going to outweigh the good points. So even if it was based on bad and good points, I rather think none of us would enter heaven in any case. But maybe you think you're pretty religious, you attend services, you do good, you're a nice neighbor, and so on. And all that is very beautiful and very acceptable. And God expects us to be nice people anyway. But the fundamental point is that none of that is sufficient for God's salvation. The thing we do need to do is to enter in. Now, entering in indicates to us the dynamic nature of faith. The dynamic nature of faith is indicative of the fact that we enter in. We move from one side of the door to the other side. And in this verse as well, behind me, the little word in should be into. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that little word in is actually the word into. And those of you who study the Bible will be interested to know that every time in the Gospel by John that we come across believing in, it should always be leaving into. It's the preposition that is indicative of movement, of dynamism. It's not something that's static. And what our Lord Jesus is teaching us is very, very important. He's saying to become a Christian, to become a believer in the Lord Jesus, requires a movement from your present position to a new position. You must leave where you are and enter into a new life altogether. And that new life is going to be a different life from the one you're living now. And as we've been hearing very helpfully, that is going to be a costly life. The Christian experience is not a bed of roses. You may find persecution. You may find opposition. You may find that there are cares that overcome your thinking. But, of course, the difference from now till then will be you'll have the Savior with you, and you'll have additional help. You won't be able to keep yourself, but the Lord will be able to keep you. He indicates to us very clearly in the Bible and in the Gospel by John, the one from which we've been reading in chapter 17, that He keeps those who take the step from the outside to the inside. And you need to leave your present life, your present condition of thing, and you have to take a step inside the door, and you become a Christian, you become a believer in the Lord Jesus. Henceforth, He'll keep you in every circumstance of life through which you pass. And He wants you to understand that while there will be difficulty, while it won't be a bed of roses, there'll be sufficient help. You'll be kept by the grace of God unto salvation. And God is capable of doing that for you. So we have the means of blessing is to enter in. But observe the certainty of the promise if you do that. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I rather like that word, shall. It is indicative of certainty. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And here is a lovely detail associated with God's salvation. This Bible from which we're reading is absolutely authoritative. We base everything we say on the Bible. It is infallible, inerrant, absolutely dependable. And you can place your life on this Bible. It is absolutely dependable in every detail. And you can be assured if the Bible says it, it will be enacted and true. And here is what our Lord Jesus says. He shall be saved. But then notice the nature of salvation. He shall be saved. And of course, that itself is indicative that presently we're lost. If you need to be saved, then before you're saved, you're lost. The Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's a lovely thing, by the way, that our Lord Jesus is interested in seeking. I don't know if you're a seeking sinner this evening. I don't know if you recognize your need before God of His eternal salvation. But if you do, and you're seeking for something, you're seeking for something that is real and eternal and meaningful and is going to bring you life, I want to tell you, if there's a seeking sinner, there is always a seeking Savior. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The fact that we need to be saved is affirmatively asserted in our New Testament. We must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? S-A-V-E-D. Are you saved? If not, my dear friend, I want to tell you that is your fundamental and most important need. Not where your food is coming from, not where your clothes are coming from, not where your shelter is coming from. Your fundamental need is to be saved. And says our Lord Jesus, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall or she shall be saved. And that's a very beautiful promise. But there's more to it than being saved. There's the fullness of life. He shall be saved and shall go in and out. Now, that's very interesting. I don't know what it's like in New Zealand, really, as far as younger elements of society and others. But they're saying back home, give me a life. And clearly, they don't have a life at the moment if they're wanting to be given a life. Give me a life. And I want to tell you that you can get a life from the Savior. The very next verse tells us that our Lord Jesus is come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Tell me, wouldn't you like to have abundant life? Wouldn't you like to have a life that is full and joyful and peaceful and assured, in spite of opposition, of course, in spite of persecutions and so on? There is something in the Christian life. I don't think anyone here who's a believer in the Lord Jesus and who has been saved would ever give up their present position. No one I know who is saved ever indicated that they were sorry that they took that step. You ask any believer, any person who is saved, if they were sorry that they took that step. I guess all of us are sorry about some steps we've taken in life, but here is a step. There is never going to be one that you wish you hadn't taken, because you shall be saved. There's fullness of life shall go in and out. But finally, we have the bounty of the banquet. Shall go in and out and find salvation. And salvation is going to bring us to a banquet. And there's going to be a finding of pasture. I want to tell you again that every believer appreciates that there's tremendous pasture in a saved life. The Bible tells us about the path of life, about the presence of joy, about pleasures forevermore. Tell me, my dear friend, if you're not saved, would you not love to have the presence of joy? The prospect of pleasures forevermore? And a path of life where there's pastures abundant in the person of our Lord Jesus. You can have it by entering in, taking the positive step of believing on the Lord Jesus, leaving your present life behind into a new sphere altogether. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I do trust God will bless his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank Thee for the abundant provision that was made for the need of men and women in the person of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He's standing with opened arms this evening, desirous of receiving every sinner in our meeting and bringing salvation to them. We thank Thee for those who have taken that positive step. And if there are those who desire something better in their lives and to experience and be assured of a great future, we pray that they too will enter in, receive Christ as their Savior, and experience that salvation. We thus commend the issues of the meeting to Thee and pray for Thy blessing upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now perhaps we could sing a closing hymn. Do we know 100 okay in this book? Who at my door is standing? Patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, "Whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee." Let's remain seated and sing together number 100, and after that our formal meeting is concluded.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing me?
Entrance within thee.